Varicose veins. Yes, they're unsightly and a nuisance, and yes, there are cosmetic specialists out there who promise to help you get rid of them. But what are they? Why do they form, and do they indicate a more serious problem that should be treated? Hello, everyone. This is Garrett Hall, your host for this Shan's Healthcast, which is brought to you by Shan's Healthcare, recipient of the 2008 Governor Sterling Award. Dr. Peter Nelson, a UF assistant professor of surgery and a varicose vein specialist, is here with me in the studio. Thanks, Dr. Nelson, for being with us today and shedding some light on a subject that is often misunderstood, I believe. I'm sure there's more to varicose veins than meets the eye, and I know that our listeners are looking forward to hearing from you today.
Thank you. It's great to be here today.
Let's start with the simple questions. What are varicose veins, and what sorts of problems do they cause?
Varicose veins, in the simplest sense, are visible veins, typically in the legs, that are enlarged and are more visible than, say, normal veins. They often present as veins that don't look good, per se, but they really manifest as much more than a cosmetic problem. These veins can cause leg pain, leg swelling, and in the most severe cases, can cause skin deterioration and even skin ulceration.
And how common are they?
Varicose veins, and the more generic term venous insufficiency, is very common. It affects as many as 24 million Americans in the country today, which, if you were to compare that, is about twice as common as coronary heart disease and about five times as common as peripheral arterial disease or stroke, some of the other things that we commonly treat as vascular surgeons. It's estimated that 72% of women and 42% of men will experience varicose veins by the age of 60. So the prevalence is very common and associated with age.
Tell us about the different types of varicose veins and why they're different.
Varicose veins can present as either spider veins, which are small, spindly-looking, reddish-colored veins, or something we call reticular veins, which are a little larger in size and often dark and very visible, or the traditional varicose veins, which are the large, dilated veins that in some instances can look like a cluster of grapes in your lower leg. So the underlying cause of each of these types of veins is similar. Venous insufficiency is the terminology for it.
And so how do varicose veins form?
Veins work by bringing the blood back to the heart, but it's a more passive process than the arteries in that the blood goes towards the heart and valves in the system keep the blood moving that direction. If those valves become leaky, or we call this reflux, then the blood can rush back down into the leg, causing high pressure in the veins and leading to dilation and the development of varicose veins.
Who's at the greatest risk for developing varicose veins?
The traditional risk factors for venous insufficiency or varicose veins include pregnancy, a family history of venous problems, obesity, a standing profession such as nursing, surgeons, or teachers or other types of standing professions, a history of venous thrombosis or clotting of the veins, and sometimes after leg injury or trauma, varicose veins can develop.
What signs or symptoms accompany varicose veins?
The typical symptomatology of venous insufficiency or varicose veins is traditionally pain or aching of the legs, also swelling of the limbs, either during the day or even chronic swelling in the most extreme forms can present. Leg heaviness and fatigue is often described, and sometimes skin changes and skin ulceration can form. Other symptoms such as tingling, numbness, itchiness, and even restless leg syndrome have been attributed to venous insufficiency. All taken together, this is generally a progressive problem if left untreated. Symptoms do not necessarily correlate with the cosmetic aspect of the veins.
Dr. Nelson, let's talk now a little bit about how you treat varicose veins. I think most people listening are predisposed to think that you walk into a cosmetic clinic and receive laser treatment, but it's not that simple, is it? What's a typical treatment plan?
We start with a diagnosis of the underlying problem using ultrasound or duplex imaging. This is a non-invasive imaging that images the veins that can tell us if there's any evidence for clots in the veins or if they have the leaky valve or reflux problem. Once we know this, then treatment can be aimed at the severity of the disease and for amelioration of their symptoms. Treatment starts with compression therapy, So compression stockings are really the mainstay of treatment, and everybody with varicose veins or venous insufficiency should wear compression stockings, particularly if they're going to be on their feet for any length of time. People who have more advanced symptoms, despite compression therapy, then would be eligible for surgical intervention. Historically, this has been performed with vein stripping, which was a procedure which involved incisions in the upper and lower legs and physical removal of the varicose veins. Nowadays, we are able to accomplish this minimally invasively through percutaneous techniques.
Tell us about some of the other specialized ways you treat varicose veins.
At the University of Florida Vein Center, we utilize radiofrequency ablation of the incompetent veins, which involves a local anesthetic and needle access to the vein and no incisions whatsoever. The vein is ablated using radiofrequency energy, which removes the leaky valves and treats the underlying problem. Individual varicose veins can be treated either with a microphlebectomy, which is a term we use for very tiny incisions used to individually remove the varicose veins, or in many instances, sclerotherapy, which is a clinic-based injection therapy to treat the veins, or even laser therapy can be applicable in different instances.
You know, Dr. Nelson, cosmetic surgery, specifically in the treatment of varicose veins, is a competitive industry. Nowadays, it seems you can't drive across town or on a major highway without seeing a slew of billboards advertising varicose vein removal and treatment. What's different about the way UF physicians treat varicose veins?
I think what sets us apart at the University of Florida Comprehensive Vein Center from other vein centers is really in the extent and time spent in the evaluation and the diagnostic phase. It's incredibly important to make sure that you aim your treatment at the appropriate underlying cause in order to get the best results. Appropriate evaluation with ultrasound and physical examination is critical, which then goes on to allow us to plan an individualized treatment program. This allows us to treat a full spectrum of venous disease, from patients who suffer from the most severe forms of disease with venous ulceration and chronic leg swelling, then to the people with extensive varicose veins, which are painful and uncomfortable without compression therapy, and then even to the patients with spider veins and smaller superficial veins, which may be primarily of a cosmetic nature. We can treat the full gamut of patients with venous disease.
Dr. Nelson, you've treated patients using one of the many techniques you've already described. What kind of recovery time are patients looking at?
Being that the procedure is minimally invasive, the procedure itself takes less than an hour. The recovery is maybe 30 minutes postoperatively, and patients generally feel immediate relief of their symptoms. There's minimal recovery from the procedure in that patients are ambulatory the day of and immediately after their operation. And although I tell them to take it easy for 1 week, many tell me that they're back to full speed within 2 to 3 days. The long-term disability from this is very little, and follow-up is traditionally at 1 week to ensure that the procedure itself went fine. And then at about 3 months' time period to see that all the varicose veins that were the target of our treatment have either resolved or whether or not they require any additional procedures, such as microphlebectomy, sclerotherapy, or laser.
So what does the future hold for varicose vein or vascular treatment?
We are continually evaluating new treatments, new developments in treatment for venous insufficiency, including interventional or percutaneous treatments for valvular problems of the main veins of your body, progressive intervention for deep venous thrombosis or DVT, and comprehensive treatment for arteriovenous malformations or abnormal collections of arteries and veins.
Thanks, Dr. Nelson. I think you've shed some important light on varicose veins, and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
And if after listening to this HealthCast, you'd like to schedule a new patient appointment at Shands with Dr. Nelson or one of his colleagues, please call us toll-free at 866-931-1185. A professional service representative will be happy to connect you with the appropriate appointment scheduler within our system. Please remember that this toll-free number is only to schedule a new patient appointment. Well, that's all for now, everybody. This is Garrett Hall. Take care. Thank you for listening to Shands HealthCast. Shands Healthcare will continue to provide healthcasts covering a wide variety of general health issues. If you would like to subscribe to Shands Healthcast or would like more information on this or other topics, please visit shands.org/healthcast. Shands Healthcare is a private, not-for-profit healthcare system affiliated with the University of Florida. Shands includes 8 hospitals, an affiliated network of more than 80 UF primary and specialty clinical practices, and a medical staff of more than 1,500 UF faculty and community physicians. For more information about our hospital system, visit shands.org. There you'll find an illustrated medical health encyclopedia, care guides for specific conditions such as diabetes and high blood pressure, maps and directions, information about all Shands hospitals and services, and links to other healthcasts. UF and Shands, the science of hope.